I invite you to turn to Psalm 46. Usually on the first Lord's Day, I'll give a briefer psalm meditation, but I wanted to expand on this passage, and I think you'll see why. It is such a suitable psalm for today, as if there's no unsuitable word of God for us today. But there's a timeliness to Psalm 46 for us today. It calls you to know that God is God, that he's the Lord of hosts, and that he's with us. And so I invite you to listen to Psalm 46 in that light. Psalm 46, this is God's word. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. What are you afraid of? That might sound like a question that is especially given to children. And some might answer, I'm afraid of the dark. Or I'm afraid of being alone. Or I'm afraid of tests. There are lots of things that make children afraid. And as adults, we might tend to say, well, I'm all grown up now. I've put away those childish fears. And that may be true. You may not be afraid of some of those childish fears. But I would suggest that the fears of an adult can run into much darker and disturbing places. In fact, it seems like over the last several months that we have been unnerved in our country by wave after wave of conflict and trial and turmoil. Wave after wave of fear have come upon us. That's why I said Psalm 46 is so appropriate for us today. It starts with this declaration, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of distress. Therefore, we will not fear. Just this first statement of the psalm draws you in to the message that Psalm 46 presents, and especially during a time when you think that your strength is running out, or it may seem like God is far away, Psalm 46 addresses your fears. It provides a pattern for days of trouble, that God promises that he will be your refuge during those times. He invites you to trust in him more fully. I'd like you to look at Psalm 46 in that light then and recognize that God is with us. Therefore, do not be afraid. We'll look at it in a very simple outline form with that declaration, God is with us, with a conclusion running from that, therefore, do not be afraid. We'll start with God being our refuge. This comes through in verses 1 through 7. I'd just like to walk through them. In 1 Samuel, I've made the point that the children of Israel had made a mistake of treating God superstitiously. It was as if they were thinking they could carry God along in a box, like a rabbit's foot, that they could unleash him on their enemies whenever they wanted and wherever they wanted. But Psalm 46 corrects that superstition. Rather than thinking of God as someone or some power that you can direct, Psalm 46 draws you into his presence. It reorients you by calling you to trust God himself, to know him, and to remember who he is and what he's done. That's what verse 1 starts to do. God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in times of trouble. A refuge you might think of as being a castle, or like Martin Luther did in his hymn on this psalm, "A mighty fortress is our God." That's what a refuge is. And add to that that it's not just a castle, but God himself says, "I will be present with you. I will be there with you in times of trouble." Well, just think about that. Almighty God himself promises to be present with you in times of trouble. He himself promises to shelter you in times of distress. This is a very vital lesson to learn for us as Christians, that God is with us in times of trouble. And I say it that way because many times it seems like the Christian church has thought that once you become a believer, you will have no more troubles in this life whatsoever. But that's just not the case. The Bible doesn't promise to remove us from all trouble, but it does say that God will be with us in that trouble. Some of the children of the congregation have been following along our vacation Bible school stories. We've been following a cowboy named Christian. And when he started off on a straight and narrow path to the celestial city, he still went through a variety of troubling things. You might remember that he had to climb a hill that was called Difficulty, and that he went down on the other side of that difficult mountain into the Valley of Humiliation, and he was attacked there by Apollyon, a great and evil enemy of God's people. You might remember that he faced temptations in Vanity Fair, that he was persecuted by Judge Hategood and thrown into the dungeon of Giant Despair. He was caught in his own sins, in the net of the enemy, in the net of the trapper, the flatterer. He even went through the valley of the shadow of death and crossed the river of death as well. That allegory is very helpful to help us understand that we too in the Christian life will experience a variety of troubles, temptation, and fall into sin ourselves. There will be days that we and loved ones will pass through the valley of the shadow of death, and should the Lord tarry, we will also cross the river of death one day too. I say this not to frighten you, because I know those things are very scary. And not just scary in a childish kind of way, but scary in a grown-up adult way. There are times where it feels like everything that is stable in this life have been undone and are crumbling around us. In the words of Psalm 46, the earth trembles and the mountains are thrown into the sea. The sea itself is roaring and foaming, and the nations are crumbling. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake, but it is particularly strange when the thing that never moves, moves underneath your feet. There's this dizzy feeling that comes over you, when that happens, because it feels like that everything is kind of topsy-turvy. And that's what these times of trouble can feel like to you. It can feel like what's secure and immovable underneath your feet is unstable, and everything feels like it's crashing down. It can cause things to rise up in you, and you might remember fears or wounds or hurts that have plagued you all of your life, and those can then almost cause the blood to rise in you, and you start to pant with anxiety. There are all sorts of fears and troubles that we go through. Even so, even in the midst of those unsettling times, God is with you. He has promised to be with you, and he has even given his Son to be with you. He is our refuge and our strength. Verses 4 and following then describe it in other very picturesque terms. Verse 4 uses the symbol of a river to represent God's presence and blessing. And in doing so, the psalmist takes a hold of a common theme, a common symbol throughout Scripture. That idea of water and river as a symbol of blessing and of life. The Garden of Eden was surrounded and well watered by the rivers that God had created. Think of the vision that Ezekiel had of a river that was flowing out of the temple of God, coming straight from the altar, and it went out and got deeper and deeper and blessed everything with life that it touched. Then Revelation has that same idea. The river of life is there, providing us strength and blessing. And Jesus himself says that he provides the water of life that is life everlasting. That's what Psalm 46 is talking about here, that water is that symbol of life. And here it says there's a river that makes the city of God glad. Not only the city, but the tabernacle, which is in the midst of Jerusalem. That river, that presence of God, is what makes even the tabernacle a place of blessing. And that's really important to understand. It's not the tabernacle itself that brings blessing. It's the God of the tabernacle that blesses. And that's what verse 5 goes on to develop. He says, God is in the midst of her. That's speaking of the city of Jerusalem and in the tabernacle. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her just at the break of dawn. Even though the nations rage, even though there are enemies that are camped against, God says that he comes as a mighty warrior to bring a deliverance to his people. In times of trouble, it's very tempting to trust in our armies or our economy. It's very tempting to think of our own arguments or our own abilities as a place of safety, to think that we can obligate God by our actions. Psalm 46 orients us to the fact that God alone is the Lord, that there's safety in him. It reminds me of another occurrence that happened in the book of Joshua. This would be earlier, before the time of Judges. Just as they were coming into the promised land, the leader of God's people, Joshua, had a vision of a mighty warrior. Joshua is thinking like a general here, and he goes to that mighty warrior and he says, "So, are you for us or against us?" It's a logical question, right? So, am I going to have to do battle right here now, or are you going to be on our side? And this mighty warrior has an answer that is very different from what Joshua expected. Because that mighty warrior is nonetheless than Jesus himself appearing before his incarnation. He comes to Joshua to lead his people into the promised land. And his answer to Joshua's question is this. Joshua says, are you for us or against us? Jesus says, neither. But I have come as the commander of God's armies. Joshua recognized Jesus for who he was. And he falls down and he worships him. It's that type of reorienting that Psalm 46 does. There's that temptation for us to marshal everything on our side. It's that sense that I have in 1 Samuel of what the children of Israel were trying to do, of superstitiously carrying God around in a box and making him do what they wanted. God is on my team. God's answer is, no, that's not quite right. I am God, and there is no other. I am God. We are on his side. Psalm 46, the Lord communicates to us in ways that he stoops down and expresses it in ways that the living God is with us. God is, it even uses that term, God is on our side, so that we would understand this great promise. But it is the living God who has chosen to be among his people. Psalm 46 even makes mention of the tabernacle, the sign of the presence of God in his people. And that was then, and this is now. We know that God is in the midst of his people even today. He has made himself known by coming in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He has made himself known by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. That's the truth that Psalm 46 declares. The response follows very naturally. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not fear. I had a wonderful experience of something like this just on Monday this week. We had my grandson Jack was visiting. He's 3.5 years old and loves to play out in the rain and in the water. And our street becomes a little river when it rains. And it rained really hard on Monday. When it was time for him to go home, we needed to cross the street to get to his car. And Jack was really excited about that because he was going to go jump and play in that water. But if you've never experienced it, even a little bit of water that's rushing down a street can be very powerful. And our street was full, overflowing the curbs. Was coming pretty fast. And I knew about this, and so I took hold of his hand. He was very excited, very eager, and jumped into the water, and what was excitement on his face turned to fear when his feet hit the water. And if I hadn't been holding his hand, he knew that the water would have flipped him over and have tumbled him down the street. And he knew that. His face showed that the excitement turned to fear because it was unsteady underneath his feet. But I had taken hold of his hand. And I held tight. And as I stepped in, I was reminded just how powerful that water is. And I held even tighter. And when he knew that I had a hold of him and that I wasn't going to be washed away and that he wasn't either, what was fear turned back to excitement again. And across the water we went, full of the enjoyment of just kind of splashing through this exciting and a little terrifying experience for a little guy like Jack. God is with us. God holds us by our hand. Therefore, we will not fear. Psalm 46 not only tells us of that, the strength and the stability of God in the midst of terrifying, torrential trouble. He also gives us two practical exhortations two practical instructions in these words to put into practice the knowledge that he is with us. It comes in verse 8 and verse 10. The first exhortation is this: come, behold the works of the Lord. God invites you to come and see what he has done. He even goes on to describe some of those doings, things that verses 1 and 7 also speak about. Here in verses 8 and 9, it describes God's mighty deeds in the concept of a battle. And that, again, would be a physical occurrence that we could understand. But it also alludes to the foreshadowing of the spiritual deliverance of an even greater enemy of Satan. He says, God makes desolations in the earth. And the children of Israel would have thought of the plagues that God brought on Egypt, of his provision as they went through the wilderness. And we are led by that to think of the greater deliverance that God has made. He rescues us from the great serpent, Satan. He delivers us from his terrifying attacks. He rescues us from the domain of darkness. In fact, he has cast Satan down. And in casting him down, he has won a great victory, a victory that he continues to exert until the last enemy, death itself, is done away with. Psalm 46 says he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. This too looks to that final victory of Jesus Christ. Now, until he comes again, there will be wars and rumors of wars. But the end will come, and Jesus' victory is sure. Until he comes, there will be disease and plague and sickness and death. But the end will come and Jesus will do away with death itself. Until he comes, there will be moments of anxiety and fear, terrifying, torrential trials that we go through. But the end will come. The Lord will wipe away every tear and every fear. In fact, our Lord Jesus has gone before us to prepare a place for us in heaven, a place where there will be no more death. There will be no more disease or death. There will be no more trial or fear. We will be with him forever. He is present with us now, and we will be present with him in all eternity. In the midst of fear, he invites you to come and to see what he has done. That's especially appropriate when you are in the midst of fear, or even beforehand. You can be preparing yourself for those times of trouble by reading what God has done in his word. He has provided you these promises to strengthen you, to remind you that he is with you and he will never leave off holding your hand. That's why abiding in God's word is so important. It gives you those promises so that when the trials come, you can remember his promises. And his spirit will help you to trust and to recognize his mighty hand holding you. The second instruction is another really good instruction in our times of fear. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Here again, I'm reminded of a parent comforting their children. Imagine that it's the middle of night, that it's dark, and that you have a bad dream. Maybe you cry out for your mom and your dad to come and help. Mom, Dad, I'm afraid. Come and help me. You know what your mom or dad does? They rush to your side. They come to your bed. They grab you in their arms and they may say, "Shh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm here. I'm with you. It's okay. I'm here." And God does that with us. God lets us know that He is present with us. He comforts us and calms us in the midst of our fears. And He especially invites us to be still in His arms and to know that He is God. To know that He is God. That knowledge of God is a very powerful phrase. It's a concept that J.I. Packer wrote about in his famous book titled Knowing God. This very influential theologian died just 2 weeks ago, and there have been many people reflecting on how they were blessed by what J.I. Packer says about knowing God. What Packer does is he makes a distinction between knowing about God and really knowing Him as a person. One of the people that was reflecting upon that said this about the difference between knowing about something and really knowing it. He said, you can know about a city, but not really know it because you've never lived in it. For instance, you might know the city, Washington, D.C., but if you've never lived there, you can't say you know the city. He says you could know about the ocean, but never have experienced swimming in it. You could know about riding horses, but never really go for a ride. And he says, the more I thought about it, the more convinced I was that I'd spent a lifetime so far knowing about God, but had not really given much attention to knowing God. Knowing about and knowing Him. He says, now years later, I've come to see the difference and the difference that it makes. Well, if you've come to church today panting because of fear and anxiety, I invite you to be still and to know that He is God. Much like Jesus said, come, all who are weary, come to me and I will give you rest. When you are afraid, you can cry out to God. You can find comfort and know that He is with us. Very practically, God has given us this psalm as well to express these truths, to know that He is God and that He is with us, to know God Himself, but at the same time to confess that these things that I'm going through are really, really hard. We can say both of those things in this psalm. God, I know You are God. I know You are good. But this is tough. I don't understand it. And I'm having trouble today. Lead me, God, to know that You are my God and my refuge. That You have saved me from these troubles and these trials, from this fear. You can take this psalm as counsel to your heart. You can take it even to express your fears and the anxieties that God is there, that you belong to Him. You can take it one other way. You can take this exhortation as an invitation to become a Christian. Are you one that has spent your lifetime just knowing about God, collecting facts, knowing about Him, even being around the worship of God, but never knowing Jesus Christ as your Redeemer? Are you one that's come to the end of your rope? You may be so burdened by fear that you can't see that crushing weight that's on your back? Or are you one that has been waging war against God all your life, pushing back against him at every turn? God invites you to surrender. He invites you to be still and to know that he is God. No matter what your story is, no matter what your sin, no matter your fears, God invites you to come to him in faith. He will be your refuge. God is a mighty fortress. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our God. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, help us to know these truths about who you are and what you have done for us. We pray, O Lord, that you would comfort us in our fears. Help us to know the feel of your hand upon us, the arms that comfort us and shelter us. Help us to know the spirit that you have placed in us. Give us eyes to look to Jesus, even in the midst of those fears, and to express our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's a pleasure to sing these words together, Psalm 46, Selection C. They are given to us personally and individually, but also as a people we can sing together and sing to each other about the trust that we have in our God, our mighty fortress. Let's stand and sing Psalm 46, Selection C.